I remember being in a prayer meeting years ago now, it could be 20 years ago, and it was a Wednesday, it was the middle of the week, but we were in prayer, when all of a sudden, and I was in the upper room, not of this church building, of another one, but all of a sudden, I had this clarity of vision and I could see straight through the brick wall. And what I was looking at in seeing through the brick wall was not a Wednesday afternoon down there in the auditorium, but a Sunday morning. In my vision, Sunday morning service was in full swing and we had a whole bunch of people in worship. And I can remember amongst them were people that we have today. And, you know, banners were being waved and people were lost in prayer. And it was beautiful worship. And as I'm looking at that scene, the voice of God speaks and says, and by implication, he's talking about our people as much as anybody else's. He's talking about people who love the Lord, listen to the word of God and believe it, and are worshipers. In other words, fine Christians, the best Christians. He's talking about them. And he said, the reason many people struggle to obtain healing and find it difficult to get answers to prayer is because they do not pray for the unity of the body of Christ. And the more I pondered that, the more I realized it's true. Because if you're busy praying for your own needs, but you're not thinking about the whole body, there is actually something that you are joined to and affected profoundly by, but you've been neglectful and careless of it. So you might love the Lord and be worshiping God and be passionate in your own prayers, but if you are neglectful of the body of Christ and careless about how other people are doing, or if you have a high view of your own congregation because you like the worship and the word here, but you know very little about all those others and so you don't have a very high view of them, you basically disdain them. You don't own them. You don't respect them. This is the problem all across the body of Christ. And the Lord was pointing out, because of this attitude of disrespect, of disdain, of not being familiar with, basically not caring about, mad keen for this work to build, but not at all caring about that. Because of this, he said, many people struggle to get healing and struggle to get answers to prayer. Why? Because we are affected by the body of Christ, but we are also very, very affected by our attitude to the body of Christ. That might be the thing that affects us the most. Is there a biblical example? The strongest example is this one in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul writes, for anyone who eats and drinks, what's he talking about? You know, at the table of the Lord. He's talking about the sacrament, you know, where we break bread and eat and drink together, remembrance of Christ, power of Christ is present, he's present in the table. There's power, there's grace in the table of the Lord. He's talking about that. And he says, anyone who eats and drinks, in other words, anyone who participates in the Lord's Supper, without recognizing the body of the Lord, in other words, you don't care less about the rest of it. We think this is wonderful. Let's work here. Let's build this up. Lord, send people in here. But we've got no care for the rest. So there's no recognition of the body of Christ. Remember, the body is all the believers of the city. In other words, this is not the body. This is part of the body. So he says, anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick. And by the way, that is physical weakness and, spiritual weakness and physical sickness. He said, many among you are weak and sick. And some of you, a number of you, have fallen asleep. There's premature death in that church. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. What does that, what does it mean to judge yourself? Take a hard look at what you're doing wrong and repent of it. Confess the sins. When we're judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we'll not be condemned with the world. Anyway, you probably see enough from that to realize we are connected. We are very, very connected. We are one. Now, I've had to labor this for a while simply because as a lesson in apostolic thinking, look, it is too easy to give a quick lesson on a subject like this, point out a few principles about the future and the way the body of Christ will unfold, but nobody's heart has changed. And unless we change our hearts, unless it's a change of viewpoint, unless our worldview is transformed to think apostolically, you will never live apostolically, let alone provide ministry leadership apostolically. It's our values that must change. Something in the heart must change. We must think like Christ. And we are here for Christ and not for ourselves. Dear friends, we have to get the gist of this, that we are connected to the whole and therefore we are one with them. We're one. If we are careless and neglectful of others, that carelessness and neglect comes back and affects us. If, worse, we condemn others, and some do, many do. If we condemn others, guess what? What did Jesus say? He said, condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Where do you find all of that? It's right there in Luke 6. Isn't it 6? Luke, anyway. Which brings us to the last little section of this. Although we've run out of time, I'll just do a little summary on this remaining part. And that's just a little bit more on the issue of leadership. We've talked about the oneness of the body, how crucial it is to understand it. We are really connected. When you have a wrong attitude to the body, you're affected by it and so on and so forth. But I have said already tonight, if we're going to change it, it's got to start with leadership. Earlier tonight I said that when you look at the New Testament, you find there's a basic structure there that's different to the church as we know it today. The basic structure in the New Testament was every city named in the New Testament had but one church, one recognizable body, all the believers belong to each other. But that's not the only difference. The other difference is this. Every one of those cities had a senior leadership group that the whole church of the city recognized as the leaders of the church for the city. And that senior leadership group was the eldership, city elders. But today, we don't see that. Instead, what we see today is every local church has its own elders. And so under a denominational system, we came to believe that elders were senior people in a congregation that got elected to join the pastor in watching spiritually over the church. This is not the biblical position at all. The biblical position is that from amongst the most senior leaders right across the city, from amongst the most mature and balanced and godly and proven pastors and prophets and the like, the leaders of the city, from these were drawn the most trusted, the most mature, the most proven to be the elders of the city. Eldership then, biblical eldership, is the most senior Christian leaders for the whole city. This is being restored. This is part of the apostolic message. This is where the church is going. This is our future. And the restoration of eldership is a hugely important part of the, not just the apostolic message, but the future of the body of Christ. That's a whole separate lesson, a upon which I've now written a separate book. But in closing, could I just comment on the strangeness of once more, and I've commented already how odd it is that we have Christians living in the same street and hardly talk to each other. But think how odd it is also that you have all these different Christian denominations, and each one of them puts their branch office, so to speak, in any given city. And so effectively what we have are spiritual colonies. So there's Anglican colonies and Catholic colonies and Lutheran colonies and Presbyterian colonies and all the others. So our cities have been colonized. And these few souls in the Presbyterian church relate to head office in Brisbane, and these few souls in the Lutheran church, they relate to a leadership that's in Adelaide, and some other denomination, they relate to a leadership that's in Sydney. But none of these scattered denominational leaders in the country have any vision for Rockhampton or any vision for any other local place. What is needed in every city is a group of senior leaders who are local, who have a great vision for the city, and can really be fathers to the pastors and to all those leading those ministries and help that whole city come into unity of purpose and walking with Christ. But in accordance with this apostolic message the Lord gave me, that has to be structured relationally. It can't be structured institutionally. But this is our future. This is where the body of Christ will go in the future. And when that is brought about, the kind of spiritual covering I was speaking about last week and the week before, we were talking about, remember, local covering in the church. We're talking about apostolic covering. We're also talking about this city covering. It's the establishing of city elderships that produce that spiritual covering over cities. Anyway, that's another whole sphere of study. And so we pause that for another occasion. I just make this comment. A denomination is not a church. That might sound like a frightening statement to some, but it's technically correct. A denomination is not a church in itself. It is an institution that governs and watches over churches. But biblically, a denomination is not a God-appointed government. Biblically, Jesus Christ appointed apostles to be the government of God for churches, and that is being restored. And so 6 points in summary. In every locality, that is in every city or town or regional area, we should be looking in the future for these six things. The church, recognizably as one body in that location, through relationships, not by amalgamating institutions. Secondly, a common leadership, which the New Testament refers to as the apostles and elders, but basically regional eldership. Thirdly, ministries and fellowships that are self-governing. Fourthly, every leader in the body of Christ, at every level, in relationships of the heart, voluntary accountability in relationships, but relationships of the heart being the order of the day for everyone in leadership. Fifthly, the eldership itself and all the ministries in the city under apostolic covering. Apostolic covering in place for the eldership and apostolic covering flowing down to all the ministries. And sixthly, in the coming days, we look for apostles and prophets to be restored as fully functioning foundational ministries in the church as the government of God. So anyway, there's your summary of what we look for in the days to come. A reformation, a genuine reformation, is happening. But all this is a process which we'll see fully worked out over two or three generations.